We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is the Brown Bear Sports Report. Today's show is brought to you by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service for our community since 1851. BSN Sports, Courtyard Marriott Providence Downtown, IBEW Local 99, The Perfect Refreshment, Coca-Cola, Share a Coke this season, and by University Orthopedics. Here's the voice of the Bears, Scott Cordischi.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of our Brown Bears Sports Report. I'm your host, Scott Cordischi. Glad you could join us. The Brown Bears Sports Report brought to you each week by Bay Coast Bank, exclusive banking partner of Brown Athletics and Recreation, a proud community bank serving the people and businesses of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And this week on the show, it gives me great pleasure to welcome some members of our women's and co-ed sailing programs here at Brown University, and we kick it off with our head coach, John Mollicone. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Well, John, thank you for stopping by, or should I say the Barry Family Director of Sailing Chair. That there. Is the formal title that
there you
go. Occupy.
Yep.
25th season as head coach here at Brown, but your fourth year as the head coach of now a varsity sport here at Brown. Been here a long time, so you obviously must like what you're doing, and I know you do a great job at it.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. I mean, obviously, I love what I do. I didn't know if this was going to be a career for me or not, but I started right out of college as the head coach, and it's just been a really awesome evolution of the program over the years, and to get to varsity status in recent years has been really rewarding for the program, and that was all really started from sailors before that got us on track to be one of the best teams in the country. Really excited to where the program is right now, and also to keep the club component as well and have that club team. That's really special to us.
It's great because it gives extra opportunities, right?
It does. And I think, we want people sailing.
Yeah.
I think that's what it comes down to. And we have a way to keep people involved that might not be at the varsity level, but they can continue to compete and have a great experience while they're in college and have that outlet.
Yep.
And I think to me that's something that's really, really important. Some of the greatest kids that I've ever had the pleasure of coaching over all my years have been some of the kids that might not be the top sailors out there. They're people that just love going sailing, being out on the water, wanting to be coach, wanting to learn, and then after they graduate, they're lifelong sailors.
Yep. You mentioned you pretty much got into coaching right out of college. You went to Boston University, where you were an All-American sailor there. I'm curious, where did you grow up? You went to BU. Where are you from? Where's home for you?
Well, home is here. I went to Moses Brown for high school. My last couple of years of high school, I sailed and played hockey there. Got a great education. Loved it. And when I was in school, there weren't many sailing teams in high school, so you needed to find the right school that had a good program, and Moses Brown was you know, one of the best in the country.
Yep.
So I ended up there and sailed and had a great experience, got recruited by some colleges, ended up at Boston University. They had a great team at the time that I went there. Had a really awesome experience there as well, and had some good sailing opportunities. You know, by the time I was a senior, you know, I had decisions to make. Was I going to, you know, go become a professional sailor, work for a sailmaking company? Was I going to do an Olympic campaign? And I got a call from the former Brown coach saying that he was leaving and wanted to know if I was interested in the position. So I applied for it. I got the position. I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And here I am 25 years later.
Wow. That's a great story. Yep. When you were at BU, just out of curiosity, did you do most of your sailing on the Charles? Did you go into the harbor? Did you get out onto the ocean? Where did you do most of your sailing when you were at Boston University?
Yeah, at BU, and they're still in the same exact spot. You're right on campus on the Charles River.
Yep.
So you're sailing in a really narrow part of the Charles River. It's very shifty, really tricky sailing. I learned a lot about tactics going there for 4 years, especially, you know, shifty sailing tactics. You know, really learned a ton. And had a great experience. But, you know, every weekend we're traveling too. Like,
sure.
We had some regattas in Boston, but we were going to Brown. We were going down to Maryland. We were going to South Carolina, Florida.
Yep.
All over the country to compete at the highest level and go to the Nationals and all that stuff. So we'd practice on the Charles most days, but we were traveling a lot.
Okay. So let's talk about this year's team. Ranked fourth nationally, both the women's team and the co-ed teams. How would you say the seasons have gone to date for both?
Yeah, it's been a really good year so far. You know, it's certainly a marathon and not a sprint. It's a long year.
Yep.
And, you know, I think our ultimate goals are to improve on our performances from last year at the national championships. And last year we had a great year. We were,
yep,
super successful season.
Yep.
We were third at the co-ed team race national championship and third at the women's team race nationals last year. And we were third overall in what's called the Fowl Trophy, which is best overall team in college sailing. So you combine all the nationals and you have an overall champion. So we were, you know, third in all three of those. And, you know, we returned a lot of our co-ed team from last year. So, you know, we're hoping we can improve on, you know, or at least be on the podium again this year.
Yep.
I think we certainly have the team that can do it. They did it last year. We did lose a few key players, but we've got some other, you know, as I like to think, you lose great people, great student athletes, but sometimes it's like the next group is ready. And
yeah,
so we've got sailors who have risen this year and are doing a great job. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can do just as strong there, and the women kind of the same thing. You know, it's we lost two top skippers, but the younger skippers and some of the other seniors have really stepped up, and you know, the women's team is on track to also do really well and hopefully finish on the podium. So I think if we can, you know, be where we were last year or improve on that and have a chance to win the Fowl Trophy. Right now, I think we're leading the Fowl Trophy based on the Nationals results from the fall. We won the Match Racing Nationals. We got second at the Women's Single-Handed Nationals. We almost won that. It came down to the last race. And then the third Nationals we had in the fall was the Open Single-Handed Nationals. That one we were more in the middle. But overall, we're in the lead.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see what the spring brings. The team's working really hard. It's a really awesome group. We have great depth. That's kind of our greatest strength, is the depth of our team, from the freshmen to the seniors, everybody in between. Everybody brings it to practice hard every day. And, you know, we have 18 boats on the water pretty much every day at practice, fighting hard with each other.
So it's interesting. You talk about that depth. And in preparation for the show, I looked at the Sail One design rankings. And in particular, in regard to the women's team, you talked about some of the key losses you sustained. And the comments that they had under your fourth ranking was maybe not quite the team they were last year because of the key losses, but a lot of good young talent. And even a down year for Brown is higher than most teams ever hope to achieve.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty high praise right there, right? Even
a
quote-unquote down year, and I don't know that you would consider this one, but, you know, that speaks highly of your program.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we really pride ourselves on how strong our women sailors are throughout the years, and we put a lot into it. You know, our women are are sailing in the best events every weekend in the country. And, you know, they're getting great coaching. They're getting great support from the school. We put a lot into it. And like I said, a lot of this all started before we got elevated. Like, we won the Nationals in 2019, our women's team, as a club team, against all the varsity teams. And the program has done that four other times before that. That was our fifth national title in women's. So we've had so many – the legacy that, you know, Brown Sailing has on the women's side of things is really quite amazing. We've had a number of Olympians, you know, just top women sailors throughout the years. And you know, we're able to attract really good women sailors year after year. So our team, we graduate good people, but we've got another good crop that comes in. You know, even this year we have some – really good freshman women that aren't even starting on the varsity side of things yet. And when their time comes, they're going to be really, really good.
So in looking at the polls too, and I don't know if that's just this year or if this is traditionally the case, but Brown, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, are we talking about four of the traditionally top programs in your sport in both women's and co-ed?
Yeah, for sure. You got the Ivy Leagues, you know, Dartmouth's in there as well. You know, Brown, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, Stanford. You know, there, and in New England, we have the most depth, you know, in terms of just the number of ranked teams. I mean, Boston College is great. MIT is good. The Coast Guard Academy is really good right now. You know, we just have, we have like 12 of the top 20 teams in the country are from New England. So every weekend we get to sail against the best, which is great.
And you talk about sailing against the best. You're also in multiple locations oftentimes on any given weekend. How does that work, and how do you determine who goes where?
There's a lot of moving pieces, for sure. So what we do is every Wednesday night we do a team meeting. Like tonight we have one at 9 o'clock, and we go over who's going where for the weekend and all the logistics and who's coaching and all that. So the kids find out on Wednesdays where they're going. Unless it's, you know, if they're going to be traveling somewhere far, we got to take a flight on a Friday, they know probably, you know, sometimes a couple weeks ahead of time.
Right.
But, you know, tonight they find out where they're going, and luckily most of our events are not too far away. Like this weekend we're at Brown for the Open Team Race New England Championship. The women are at Yale in a big women's team race. And we have another co-ed group going to Tufts for 2 days to sail. And we've got another group going to Connecticut College to sail. So everything is, you get in a van and go. Come back, sleep in your own bed. So it's, you know, figuring out who's going to go where, I mean – you know, you've got a lot of data from the year, from regatta results. You've got practice. You know, you get to see who's, you know, who's committed. All those things, you know, you kind of, you look at everything, and in the end, the results kind of speak for themselves.
So when you talk about sleeping in your own bed, for instance, the women's team that will compete at Yale, is that a two-day event?
It's actually looking like it's going to be one day only. So they'll come back on Saturday. After
if it were 2 days, they would stay overnight.
It depends. It depends. I think if we knew it was going to be 2 days this weekend, we probably would, because Saturday would probably be a long day, so we'd get we'd stay there. But it sounds like they're going to try to finish it in 1 day based on the forecast, so we could just go and come back.
So how do you measure ultimate success in your sport? Obviously competing for and winning national championships, but there are so many races, and I'm confused as to maybe which ones matter more.
I mean, every weekend there's a sort of the highest tiered event. You know, like you mentioned the Graham Hall team race. And the Graham Hall team race trophy that weekend, it was the biggest event of the weekend for co-ed.
A couple of weeks ago, and your team beat Harvard,
So that event was the heaviest weighted event of that weekend. And so every weekend there's one of those. For co-ed, there's one for women's. This past weekend, we hosted the women's Dellenbaugh team race trophy at Brown. That's our big women's, like, three-on-three team race trophy. All the best teams in the country were there. So they all come in. They try to select it when they pick their schedule. And so we had all them. So that was the premier women's event of the weekend. So every weekend there's a premier women's event, a premier co-ed event. And then there's other regattas and, you know, different levels. You know, some are just a step down. You know, some are more for freshmen and younger sailors developing. So, you know, there's kind of something for everybody. And you're trying to develop the rest of your team so that they can get to the highest level. So you have to have competitions for them to go and compete in.
How, I'm just curious, as somebody who has been involved with the sport for so long, what determines success or having success on the water? Is it, you know, is it tactics? Like, for instance, in basketball, you got to make shots. The ball's got to go in the basket for you to win a game. You know, if you're a sprinter, you got to run fast, right? Well, what goes into sailing a great race and coming out on top?
Sure. I mean, I think there's two things that are really important in sailing that, you know, you're going to be successful. One is you have to be fast. So, you know, we compare it to running. You know, the fastest runner wins in a in a running race, right? So sailing's the same way. Usually the fastest boat wins. So the kids have to get really good at knowing the boats well, knowing how to make them go as fast as possible. And a lot of that has to do with their setup in the boat, where they're sitting in the boat, how they're steering the boat, and also, like, sailing the race course properly where the most wind is and having good starts and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But the fastest boat wins usually over the course of any competition. So boat speed and consistency. So we go and do a number of races over the course of a weekend. And, you know, it's not necessarily about winning every race. It's about, you know, having consistent finishes. So if we fleet race and there's 18 teams, 18 boats on the water racing against each other, you know, if you average a 4 or 5 over the course of 14 races or however many races we do on the weekend, you're probably going to win. Or if you don't win, you're going to be close to it. You're going to be right there. So those are the two biggest things. And that consistency is going to come with you got to be fast. The fastest sailors win all sailing races that you do.
Yours is a two-sport season, fall and spring. When do the kids have off? Pretty much the cold months, December, January, that type of thing?
Yeah, we kind of shut down just before Thanksgiving, like mid-November. Yep. We're winding down. And then we did a winter trip in January this year in Miami for 4 days. We actually did it with Harvard. So we actually trained together down in Miami. Our teams have a good relationship with each other. So we worked together, and it was good because they're the defending national champions in team racing for co-ed, and we were third. So to get to battle with them was great. And then, you know, because we did that trip, we started like kind of middle, third week of February. We got on the water here, and we'll go until the fleet racing nationals are at the end of May.
Right,
actually
I was
during
say,
graduation.
Like, yeah, I was just going to say. So, like, you know, where a lot of kids are winding down before exams or, you know, before graduation, yours is a sport that will take you right up to graduation.
Sure. Yeah, there's years where the nationals go into June.
Yeah.
You know, like the first week of June. So we have some seniors that'll miss, unfortunately, have the, you know, we always give them the, you know, that they have to make the decision on their own with their families if they're going to miss graduation or go to the nationals. So there are some that have to figure out what they're going to do because the national championship finals fall right on graduation this year. And we go through that most years.
I mentioned you're in your 25th season as head coach. How has it changed for you now that it has been elevated from club to varsity? Does that help you from a recruiting standpoint? You know, having some admission spots, I know you probably don't have a lot, but has that helped you personally as head coach having sailing go from club to varsity?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it, you know, I would say I've been the biggest, you know, flag waver over the 20 plus years before we got elevated of trying to be varsity, right? I'd always, every athletic director we've had, I've had my annual meeting and like, hey, you know, what is it going to take for us to get there? Because It, honestly, as a club team, it was really hard to be successful year in and year out.
Yet you were, to your credit.
We were lucky that we really had some we had some really good sailors that were able to get in. And, you know, we luckily would all, we've always fundraised well, so we've always been able to get whatever we need for the program. And we've treated ourselves like a varsity team, at least in terms of the sailing side of things and practice and everything. But we never had the resources. Obviously, the admission support as a recruited athlete is huge. Having the strength and conditioning, having trainers, having, you know, if there's any academic resources we need, the support from the school and the athletic department, it's just amazing the change. And, you know, so it does make things easier because it was hard year in and year out. You know, some years we would go a couple years without having – that real top co-ed level sailor because we were a club team. And,
right.
Or maybe there were kids that wanted to come here that were really good, but we couldn't help support them. Or we didn't, because we weren't varsity, they said, you know what, I'm going to go to Yale. They're varsity. They have all the resources I want. So it was always a battle. We survived it, I thought pretty well for a long time. But it was really time for us to move up, and it's been huge.
I've heard other coaches say this. I'm curious if the same applies to you and your sport. Do you find that from a recruiting standpoint, when you get a prospective student-athlete on campus to visit the facility, to interact with your current student-athletes, do you feel like you usually are able to close the deal most times? I feel like a lot of student-athletes and a lot of coaches say, well, once I visited Brown, that was it for me. Is it the same for you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of great student-athletes that want to come here for sailing. Yep. There's no doubt about that, which is great. It does make recruiting, probably a little easier than some teams have to deal with, because Brown is such a great place and our sailing program's great and everything. Yep. Open curriculum, people love. And our team vibe and chemistry is great. So kids come and visit, and they really enjoy their experience with the team. But, we're recruiting against Harvard, Yale, Stanford. Right. Those are our primary teams we're recruiting against. And those are three of the best schools and brands in the world. So it's not always easy. And that's who we're battling with sailing, every weekend and week out. And then Dartmouth and, all the Ivies. And, like I said, there's always some other really good teams too. But, it's every year we're lucky. Like, since we've been varsity, we've been able to land some really good recruits. And, that's why we're where we are now.
So this weekend, among other places, you're home on Narragansett Bay.
Yep.
Will you be home for that, or will you be traveling somewhere?
No, I'm going to stay home. I usually, whenever we host a big event, I'm usually there running it.
Yeah.
And I also am coaching, but have other coaches there as well to help me. So we'll have three coaches from Brown this weekend coaching the team, running the event. This is a big event. I mean, we're going to run over 100 races this weekend.
And this will be 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, correct?
All day, 2 days. There's a national automatic qualifying berth on the line. Yeah. So the winner gets an automatic spot to the Nationals.
Okay.
And then after that, you're kind of – there's a selection committee that fills out the rest of the field. So it's very similar to NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah.
So you win your conference championship, you're in.
You're in.
And after that, you're at the mercy of the selection committee.
Gotcha.
So we want to try to win and know that we're going. Otherwise, we have to wait 2 weeks and find out from a committee whether we're going.
How many teams get selected?
In the end, with the automatic qualifying berths, there's 16 for the co-ed team racing. Yep.
And can you generally look at the rankings and kind of have an idea as to who might get invited if they don't get their automatic bid?
Yeah, I think if you are having a good season, our co-ed team has had a really good season.
Yep.
We feel like we've done enough that, we don't have to win this weekend, but we still want to do well. And you never know. If you have a bad – the conference championships are weighted heavily in the selection committee's thinking. So, you don't want to go out and have a poor New England championship.
Right.
Because in New England, I mean, there's 10 really good team race teams.
Yeah.
Of the 12 teams that are going to be there, there's 10 that are really good. So, so it's never easy week in and week out. You're trying to just be consistent and have good results every weekend. And, it's really hard to win.
I'm looking at the forecast here. So Saturday calling for occasional rain, winds out of the north-northwest at 10 to 15, and then Sunday it's talking about winds out of the north at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Are those good racing conditions?
Sure. I obviously, as a sailing coach, as a sailor, you look at the weather all the time, right?
Yep.
So I've been looking at the forecast multiple times a day to see what to expect, and I've seen some snow in the forecast for the last few days. It said Saturday morning there might be some snow. So it looks like it could be a cold weekend.
Yeah. You need wind, though, right? Most importantly?
The wind is the most important thing. You know, sailing in the snow or the rain, like, we're used to doing that. Yesterday we sailed in sleet. They're in dry suits. They're used to it. We put them out there in crummy weather. They're used to it. And then, today we took a day off because, all right, how much of this can we sail in? Let's take a day off. But this weekend, if the forecast is 10 to 15, 10 to 20 out of the north, like, those are great racing conditions.
Okay.
So it'll be a really good championship.
Well, Coach, good luck this weekend, and thank you for joining us on the show.
Yeah, Scott, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it, and thanks for everything you do.
All right, that is John Mollicone, our women's and co-ed sailing coach. When we come back, we're going to be joined by four John student-athletes. Emily Mueller, Francesca Edmonds, Connor Nelson, and Brielle Willoughby will be our guests when we continue with the Brown Bears Sports Report right after this.
And we're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
As an athlete or fan, you need to keep your mind and body in the game. With over 90 board-certified radiologists with broad-based experience and subspecialty training, Rhode Island Medical Imaging will deliver the most accurate diagnosis possible. If you need an X-ray, MRI, CAT scan, or another imaging exam, ask for Remy. As the first and only outpatient diagnostic imaging center of excellence in Rhode Island, Remy will provide you with the highest quality of care. To find one of Remy's 16 state-of-the-art locations nearest you, visit RIMIRAD.com.
Keeping Brown University's 34 varsity teams healthy and in the game is no easy task. That's why the Brown Bears have had the doctors at University Orthopedics as their official orthopedic providers for more than 30 years. With 60 orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine, and musculoskeletal experts, University Orthopedics provide the area's most comprehensive orthopedic care. You don't have to travel far. With 12 offices across Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, the best orthopedic care anywhere is right here. University Orthopedics.
At New England Institute of Technology, we prepare our students for the careers of today and tomorrow. We don't have boring lecture halls. We have real-world simulation labs with the same leading-edge technologies you'll use in your chosen field. And with 50-plus majors, from IT to automotive to video game design and more, New England Tech has a program you can get excited about. Financial aid, transfer options, and merit scholarships are available. Visit neit.edu to schedule a visit and learn more.
Keeping Brown University's 34 varsity teams healthy and in the game is no easy task. That's why the Brown Bears have had the doctors at University Orthopedics as their official orthopedic providers for more than 30 years. With 60 orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine, and musculoskeletal experts, University Orthopedics provide the area's most comprehensive orthopedic care. You don't have to travel far. With 12 offices across Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, the best orthopedic care anywhere is right here. University Orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Brown Bears Sports Report. I'm your host, Scott Cordish. Glad you could join us. This portion of the program brought to you by Rhode Island Medical Imaging, the official MRI provider of Brown Athletics, with 14 MRI locations statewide. Remy's specialty-trained physicians and patient-focused care are in your neighborhood. Well, as we mentioned, we are happy to be joined by some members of our co-ed and women's sailing programs here at Brown University. First off, we have a co-captain from Guildford, England, Junior Emily, is it Mueller?
Yep, that's right.
Emily, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. And sitting next to you, we have a junior co-captain from New York City, Francesca Edmonds. Francesca, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, thank you for stopping by and being with us.
Of course.
And then we have a gentleman from Tampa, Florida, a senior co-ed skipper, Connor Nelson. Connor, good to see you again. How you doing?
Good to see you, too. I'm doing great.
Well, thank you for being with us. And then we have a women's skipper, a senior from Surf City, New Jersey, Brielle Willoughby. Brielle, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. Well, thank you all for being with us. Congratulations on, you know, a nice season to date, both fall and spring. Emily, I'll start with you. Let's talk about, I guess, the team right now, both the women's sailing team and the co-ed team, both ranked fourth right now. Is that correct?
Right. Yep.
How has the season gone? I know there are separate seasons, fall and spring, but how would you say things have gone to date?
Yeah, I think pretty solid overall. There's always things we're working on. Some weekends, some things go better than others. But I think consistently we've been on the trajectory that we want to be on, working towards nationals in just a couple weeks now. So yeah, we're just building up to that, making sure we have really focused practices and work on everything we want to be where we want to be in a couple weeks.
You know, Francesco, one of the things I read about the women's sailing program was that you lost a lot of key sailors from a year ago, yet here you are ranked fourth and in a position where I think a lot of programs would love to be. I guess, does that speak to the strength of the program, the depth of the program, that you can lose good sailors to graduation and almost not miss a beat?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like last year two of our starting skippers were seniors, and losing them was definitely kind of a scary feat for the rest of us. But the sophomores and seniors that have stepped up this year have done a really good job and dedicated a lot of time to studying the team racing that we did last year. And I think we had a slightly rocky start maybe in the beginning, but just witnessing the drive of everyone has been super cool.
Connor, you are a two-time All-American, two-time All-NEISA first team skipper. We've talked to you on the show in the past, and you know, I mentioned the fact that both the co-ed and the women's team are ranked fourth in the Sail One Design rankings. Let's talk about the co-ed team in particular, because you recently beat number one Harvard in the Final Four of the Graham Hall in Annapolis. I think you finished third out of 16 in that event. But does that kind of speak to the potential of your team, the fact that you can take on the top team and beat that team? I guess you beat them pretty handily down there in Annapolis.
Certainly. It is very exciting that we were able to do that. And throughout the season, we've probably gone half and half with them on races that we've won and lost. So splitting with the top team that's ranked in the country right now is definitely a good sign. What's holding us back a little bit is simple mistakes that we're cleaning up against possibly some worse teams. So once we get those kinks figured out, I think we will be certainly battling at the top.
Brielle, I know you are a top skipper and leader for the women's program. First team all Ivy last year, second team all NEISA as well. Talk to us a little bit about your role as the top skipper for the program. Tell the listeners exactly what that means, what you do.
Well, I am the only returning skipper from last year's team. So just kind of trying to bring what I learned from the seniors who graduated and what they taught me for the last 2 years into the new skippers that joined me. That's definitely been a learning experience for me. But I think that having paid attention to how they led me for the past couple years has allowed me to kind of lead us to where we are now, which, we, as you said, we haven't missed much of a beat and we're still getting better. And I'm hoping that in a few weeks we will be battling in the top teams as well.
You know, for you and Connor, your careers here at Brown started rather auspiciously, right? You had the COVID year. No athletics, no season. What was that like? I mean, take us back to your freshman year when obviously there was no athletics, right? It was just academics, and things were very different around here than they are now when we're pretty much back to normal.
I mean, my freshman year, we weren't competing in the beginning of the season. We only started competing towards the end of the spring, and practices weren't running as normally as they are now. So it was definitely a rocky start to my time at Brown, and I wish I could have that year back. But in the last 3 years, I've definitely still been able to experience the team that I wanted to be on for all 4 years.
So. Connor, I know I've talked to you about this in the past. You're from Tampa, Florida. There a difference between sailing in cold water up here as opposed to warm water down where you're from?
Oh, absolutely. Sailing in warm water is way better.
Tell me, I mean, what are the differences besides, obviously, the comfort level for the sailors?
Yeah, I mean, physically not so much. I mean, obviously, you need to get into way different gear, such as a dry suit or wear gloves, wear different clothing, which affects your maneuverability in the boat. So in that sense, it definitely makes a difference. The actual sailing, not quite so much, but certainly a different game with the heat versus cold and maneuverability.
Are the winds and conditions much different down there as opposed to up here?
It really depends on, I mean, in college sailing, we do sail on a lot of lakes and rivers and smaller bodies of water. So the wind changes a lot more often. So it's coming over more land, shifts more, different pressure differences, where in Florida we're mostly sailing on the ocean or in bays where it's a lot more consistent. So it definitely makes it more tricky in that sense.
Emily, I would ask the same question of you. Is it different across the pond or across the Atlantic sailing over there as opposed to here in New England?
Yeah, similar to what Connor said, a lot of the sailing I did before Brown was just on the open ocean, big waves, which I really enjoy. You know, it's exciting going fast on the waves, but college is very different where it's shifty and you have to be, you know, a lot more tuned in to quick changes in the conditions, which I think adds a different element of excitement. But yeah, definitely had to get used to sailing in a dry suit in both places. I've also sailed in Florida, which I prefer. But yeah.
I'm curious to know how all of you were introduced to the sport, number one, and number two, how you all wound up here at Brown. Emily, we'll start with you, right? You're from England. How did you wind up here? How did you get introduced to the sport to begin with?
So, yeah, I actually started sailing when I lived in Miami in elementary school.
Okay.
So I didn't come from a sailing family or anything, so I think if I'd have stayed living in England the whole time, I probably would have never sailed. But, yeah, just being in Florida, a lot of people sailed. I just tried it, you know, after school one day. And then as I started racing, that's when I kind of really fell in love with it. And then I actually moved back to England for middle school and high school, and that's when I got really into the competitive element. And just always wanted to come to the U.S. to be on a varsity program where you get to go to school but also compete in your sport at the highest level was what drew me back over here.
So when you were looking into schools, were you looking into any over there or were you pretty much focused on going to school in the States?
I was pretty focused on coming back over here just because to sail at a high level in England, it's not integrated with the universities.
Okay.
And I didn't want to have to pick one or the other. I wanted to have both. So, yeah, I was always pretty focused on coming to the U.S.
Francesca, not a long trip to Providence from New York for you. How did you get introduced to the sport? How did you wind up here?
Yeah, I actually get that question a lot because I feel like people are mostly surprised that I'm a sailor from New York City. But my grandparents live in Long Island, so over the summers growing up, I would visit them, and I was introduced to sailing at a summer camp, and then I decided that I really loved the sport and wanted to be more competitive about it, so my parents, thank God for them, would drive me to Connecticut every weekend, and I joined a team, and yeah, I think I was attracted to Brown because I just heard a lot of great things about the team chemistry and John as a coach, and knew that it was one of the highest performing teams in the country, so I was really stoked to come here.
And you were or are still a sailing instructor, correct?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I coached at Riverside Yacht Club in Greenwich, Connecticut for the past three summers, which was awesome.
Okay. Yes. Connor, how about you? How'd you get introduced to the sport? How'd you come up here to Brown?
Much like Emily, you know, growing up in Florida, sailing is pretty readily available. So I basically started when I was about 8 years old and came up through a summer program, racing programs in Florida. I was also on my high school team, which is very similar to college sailing in a lot of senses. So I decided, you know, Brown was a great spot. I came and visited. I had a great experience. And, decided it was the place for me.
Brielle, I'm not sure where Surf City, New Jersey is. I assume it's on the Jersey Shore. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What part? North, south, midway?
South Jersey Shore.
So is it near? So I've been to the Jersey Shore many years ago, like Stone Harbor, Avalon, anywhere in
it's
that
It's a little bit north from there.
Okay. All right. So how did you get introduced to the sport? How'd you wind up here?
So a lot of people sail on the Jersey Shore, and my parents just put me in a summer program, and it clicked. And the reason I wanted to come to Brown was when I was looking at schools, Brown's women's team had just won nationals that year. So I knew that it was a really strong women's program, so it was on the top of my list.
So you two are seniors. I'm just curious what you will be graduating with a degree in, and then what comes next for you after graduation?
I'm graduating with a degree in biology and English, and I'm going to pursue a master's degree in immunology after this.
Okay. Congratulations.
I'm graduating with a degree in business economics, and I am doing commercial real estate brokerage in Florida.
So you already have a job lined up?
I do.
Congratulations. In your near your hometown, Tampa?
It's actually in the Florida Keys. So
even better.
About far south.
So you get to work and sail. That's pretty good down there. Francesca, what is your concentration? Are you a history major? That's what it says in your bio.
Yes, I'm a history concentrator, and I'm on the pre-med track.
Okay, I was going to say, but it says you want to pursue a career in medicine. So after Brown, I would imagine med school?
Yes.
Okay. And how about you, Emily?
I'm doing economics and environmental science. So want to pursue a career in kind of that intersection, making businesses sustainable. Yeah.
So the two of you were named captains. I'm curious what that meant to you when you found out. And I don't know if do you vote on captains as players? Does coach pick the captains? How does that work? Are you selected by your peers?
Yeah, we do a team election, so we have a lot of different positions. And yeah, the first one we vote for is captain. So it was really cool to have the support of the rest of the team to vote for us.
How about you?
Agreed. It's also super exciting to be co-captain with Emily, who's been one of my closest friends since freshman year. But I think it's just cool to lead such a large group of people and work with John for the most part.
So what does it mean in terms of your responsibilities, or what do you see as your responsibilities as captain? Like, yeah. What do you have to do? What does that mean? You
know, mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is just, you know, keeping the team happy and motivated to keep working towards our goals of, you know, performing at nationals the way we want to, while also having a lot of fun. And, you know, we call ourselves a family. Everyone feels comfortable going to anyone with kind of any problems. So I guess, yeah, we just kind of oversee that kind of environment and make sure we maintain that, and then also, you know, work with John to keep him updated with everything and make sure that communication between the team and our coach is there and is, yeah, working as it should be.
Yeah, I agree. I would also just say we have about almost 50 people on our team if you include varsity and club, so just making sure that everyone feels integrated and included, I find is a major task as a captain.
Connor, what kind of take us through what the time commitment is to do your sport, right? I always marvel at student athletes here at Brown, or any school for that matter. I mean, you've got the academic workload to deal with, right? That's hard enough. And then you're a student athlete, which is like having a full-time job on top of being a full-time student. So I'm sure time management's an issue. But, you know, yours is a season two that's fall and spring. It's not just a fall sport and then you have the spring off where you're just working out. You're competing both in the fall and the spring. What is the commitment like being a sailor here at Brown, and how do you manage your time?
Definitely. I mean, it's a pretty big time commitment, I must say. The only day off we have is Monday. Realistically, we have practice Tuesday to Friday, and then regattas pretty much all day Saturday and Sunday. So, it's easy for me to manage my time just because I love the sport so much, so that I'm able to focus on my schoolwork and I don't resent sailing because it's such a great sport and we have such a great team. But, yeah, it's definitely a huge time commitment, and having it both seasons plus spring break training plus winter break training, I say we probably do more hours than anyone else, but I love it.
Brielle, did you find it challenging at first? I know we talked about the first year being COVID, but maybe your sophomore year, the first year when you guys are really into it, was it challenging managing your time, or did you find a way to do it quite easily?
Yeah, I think it was challenging at first, and especially being with a science major, managing labs, which can be in the afternoons, and navigating that was a little difficult. But it always helped that John always stressed that school did come first, and you can be as committed as you need to be in certain times. But as Connor said, if you really love the sport as much as I think most of us do, you make it work.
Yeah, you know, Emily, I'm curious too, you know, when I look at your schedules, similar to track and field, your team can be spread out all over the place on any given weekend, right? Some mm-hmm. could be sailing here, some could be sailing there, in different states, in different places. How does that all work? And maybe this is a question better asked of coach, but how do you decide who goes where?
Yeah, so we always have kind of a top co-ed event and a top women's event that we send our top sailors to, but it's really nice that, you know, from when you come in as a freshman, there are those slightly lower level events that you can go to and make sure that, you know, everyone gets to compete nearly every weekend, which I think is unique for our team, is that John really makes sure that everyone gets that opportunity to race wherever. So, yeah, obviously it means we end up, we have a team of, you know, 50 people, so we end up being in a lot of events every weekend. But I think, yeah, that's what really is really special and what makes our team so deep, is that everyone gets to keep racing and improving every weekend.
Francesca, when you compete as a skipper, are you generally sailing with the same group of sailors every time, or are you skippering different crews at different times?
I'm actually crew, and I sail a lot of the time with Brielle. And I think our women's team this year has gotten really good at all being interchangeable with one another. I think most skippers typically have one or two crews that they sail with for most of the time. But because we have so much time to practice, we've all gotten pretty used to sailing with basically everyone on the team, which is pretty cool.
Connor, I'm curious, I think if I'm not mistaken, is this year four that sailing is a varsity sport here at Brown? So when you came, did it just make the transition? Oh, is this year three?
It's year three.
So when you came in as a freshman, it was still a club sport.
That's right. So I came in as a freshman, it was club, and then during the COVID year, I took a gap year.
Okay.
And then when I came back my sophomore year, it was then varsity.
Okay. What has been the difference from your perspective, like from being a club sport to now being a varsity sport? What are the benefits as you see them?
A lot of the benefits come from the school, obviously. I mean, now we have lift, our own lift coach. We can use the varsity room, which is amazing. We have access to different people like a nutritionist and, Heather, our trainer, which is super helpful. Last year I had a pretty bad back injury, and without Heather, without being varsity, I'm not sure if my season would have gone quite the way I would have wanted. So some huge improvements going to varsity.
Braille, tell us about the sailing pavilion too. I know that was recently rededicated and redone. I don't know how many years ago it's been now, maybe 10 or thereabouts, but talk about the sailing pavilion, and I don't know where it stacks up relative to maybe other schools' sailing pavilions, but do you like the facility that you call home?
Yeah, definitely. I think, honestly, it's one of the best facilities in college sailing. It also has really good viewing for spectators, which isn't always the case, too, and it is very comfortable. Like, it's really nice when you have a home event and you're able to kind of go up and have our space. Like, a lot of other home events don't necessarily have that level of comfort of being at your own place. So
the co-ed team, correct me if I'm wrong, won the ICSA Match Race National Championship in Charleston last fall in November.
That's correct.
Was that one of the team's better performances of the year in your eyes?
Certainly. I mean, it's always amazing to win a national championship. I personally was not on that boat. That's a single boat with four people. That was amazing. To win any national championship is a huge feat.
Yep. And this weekend, correct me if I'm wrong, there is an event here. You're hosting an event Saturday and Sunday, correct? Among other events that you'll be competing in. So who will be competing here? And I assume it's on Narragansett Bay.
That's right. I'm competing. Emily is competing as well. It's the co-ed New England's. So it's a very big, very big regatta here
okay.
at Brown.
All right. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Before we go, what are you two going to miss most about your whole Brown experience? Doesn't have to be sailing. Doesn't have to be in the class. Just what are you going to miss the most?
I think it will certainly be the team. I love our campus. I love Brown, but the sailing team is, as Francesca said, we're a family, very close. And to be able to go sailing basically every day at a high level competitively with, some of your best friends is something that I will truly miss.
Brielle?
Yeah, I'll definitely miss the sailing. And just being with everyone every day at practice, you never will have probably that same kind of experience again. We'll never be sailing with people that we love so much again. So
I would imagine you'll both continue sailing, at least recreationally. Will you continue sailing competitively when you get out of school?
I hope so.
Yeah?
Definitely. Not to mention I'm going to be living on a boat to begin with. So
that helps.
That helps me sail a little bit.
Well, congratulations to the two of you on your impending graduation in a couple of months. And thank you all for joining us, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.
All right. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll let you know what is happening athletically here on campus this weekend when we continue with the Brown Bears Sports Report right after this.
Keeping Brown University's 34 varsity teams healthy and in the game is no easy task. That's why the Brown Bears have had the doctors at University Orthopedics as their official orthopedic providers for more than 30 years. With 60 orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine, and musculoskeletal experts, University Orthopedics provide the area's most comprehensive orthopedic care. You don't have to travel far. With 12 offices across Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, the best orthopedic care anywhere is right here. University Orthopedics. Keeping Brown University's 34 varsity teams healthy and in the game is no easy task. That's why the Brown Bears have had the doctors at University Orthopedics as their official orthopedic providers for more than 30 years. With 60 orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine, and musculoskeletal experts, University Orthopedics provide the area's most comprehensive orthopedic care. You don't have to travel far. With 12 offices across Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, the best orthopedic care anywhere is right here. University Orthopedics.
We're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
Mind and body in the game. With over 90 board-certified radiologists with broad-based experience and subspecialty training, Rhode Island Medical Imaging will deliver the most accurate diagnosis possible. If you need an X-ray, MRI, CAT scan, or another imaging exam, ask for Remy. As the first and only outpatient diagnostic imaging center of excellence in Rhode Island, Remy will provide you with the highest quality of care. To find one of Remy's 16 state-of-the-art locations nearest you, visit RIMIRAD.com.
At New England Institute of Technology, we prepare our students for the careers of today and tomorrow. We don't have boring lecture halls. We have real-world simulation labs with the same leading-edge technologies you'll use in your chosen field. And with 50-plus majors, from IT to automotive to video game design and more, New England Tech has a program you can get excited about. Financial aid, transfer options, and merit scholarships are available. Visit neit.edu to schedule a visit and learn more.
Welcome back once again to the Brown Bears Sports Report. Our thanks to our members of our women's and co-ed sailing program for joining us. Before we wrap things up, let's give you a quick update as to some of the key events happening on campus this weekend. First of all, we'll start on Friday in women's gymnastics. And good luck to junior Julia Bedell. She will be competing in the floor exercise at the NCAA regional tournament down in Gainesville, Florida. It's my understanding Julia's competition will begin at about 1 o'clock on Friday. So good luck to Julia Bedell from our women's gymnastics program as she competes on Friday. On campus, some home events this weekend. On Saturday, well, you heard Coach Molicone and his Sailors talk about that they'll be hosting the NEISA Championship Foul Trophy races here in Providence. That's both Saturday and Sunday at the Sailing Pavilion down on Narragansett Bay. Our baseball team will host Princeton for a doubleheader on Saturday starting at 11:30 a.m. and then a single game on Sunday beginning at 12 noon. Women's lacrosse will be home on Saturday hosting the Dartmouth Big Green at 2 o'clock at the Center for Lacrosse and Soccer. And on Sunday, in addition to the baseball game against the Princeton Tigers, our men's tennis team will host Harvard at the Pizzatola Sports Center at 1 o'clock. So, as you might expect, during the springtime, lots of events happening locally. If you have a chance, come on down to Brown and check out baseball, women's lacrosse, men's tennis, or sailing, whatever you want to take in this weekend. Folks, that'll do it for this edition of the Brown Bears Sports Report. Again, my thanks to John Molicone. Also want to thank Emily Mueller, Francesca Edmonds, Connor Nelson, and Brielle Willoughby. My name is Scott Credici. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This has been the Brown Bears Sports Report. Today's show is brought to you by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service for our community since 1851. BSN Sports, Courtyard Marriott Providence Downtown, IBEW Local 99, The Perfect Refreshment, Coca-Cola, Share a Coke this season, and by University Orthopedics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Brown Bears Sports Network. This has been the Brown Bear Sports Report. This has been the Brown Bear Sports Report.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.